Welcome back to the Always Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are continuing in the first chapter of Maseches Krisos. Today we will be learning Mishnayos Beis and Gimel. Mishnah Beis tells us, Elu chayavim al zidonam kares, v'yashkagasam chatas, v'al lahoda shalahen asham taloi. So we just went over yesterday the 36 things for which one would have kares if committed intentionally, and one would have to bring a sacrifice if committed unintentionally. So the Mishnah now tells us, for these things that we enumerated yesterday, if done intentionally, he gets kares. If done unintentionally, he brings a chatas, a sin offering. And if he doesn't know if he did it, then he brings an asham toloi, a conditional offering. Chutzman ha-metame mikdash ukdashav, except for one who makes impure in the temple or with sanctified foods, mimneshehu ba'olav yored, because that sin doesn't have a carbon chatas, that one has an olav yored, which is a variable offering. One would either bring animals or birds or even flour, depending on one's means. Divrei Rebbe Meir, this is the opinion of Rebbe Meir. But the sages say, Af Magadef, also the blasphemer, Shine'emar, because the Torah tells us, Torah achas yielachem la'osa bishkaga, says there should be one law for all of you who do these things unintentionally. Yotze Megadef, this excludes the blasphemer, She'eno osa maise, because he didn't actually do an act. He spoke, but he didn't act. So that would not be included in the chatas. Let's look in the Bart Neuro. So for all of these things, ashkagasan chatas, one would bring a sin offering if committed unintentionally. Shkaga shechayavim aleha chatas hi, it's an accidental act that would require one to bring a sin offering. Kagon haba al achas min harayos, for example, if one had relations with one of these forbidden people. Kesavor shehi ishto, thinking that it was his wife. So he didn't intend to do this deed, he thought it was his wife. V'ha oved avodah zara, so, for example, he served an idol, bowing down to it, thinking that the Torah prohibited offering sacrifices or incense or libations. But that it doesn't prohibit bowing down to it. Of course it does, but he's ignorant of that fact. V'hamachalas ha-Shabbos k'savar cholhu, or someone who violates Shabbos thinking that it's a weekday. V'chein kol k'yotzei b'zeh, and similarly any other circumstance, she'yodea be'ikar ha'isur ela shenela mimenu zeh ha'maisa she'oseh. So in all of these cases, he's generally familiar with the law, but the thing that he did, that eluded him. Of a ha'omer muter legamre, but if someone thinks it's completely permitted, to oker kol haguf, and he uproots the entire body of law, kagon ha'omer ein Shabbos b'Torah. For example, if someone says there's no such thing as Shabbos in the Torah, ein avodah zara b'Torah, there's no such thing as avodah zara of idolatry in the Torah. Lo shogig hu zeh, this person is not considered having acted unintentionally. Ela anus gamarhu upater. Rather, he's considered anus. It's like he was compelled, and such a person would not bring a sacrifice. Lahoda, if someone acted and doesn't know if he committed the sin. Kagon shnei zesim, echad shel chelev ve'echad shel shumen. For example, there's two portions of fat, one of which is prohibited fat and one of which is permitted fat. Achal echad mehen ve'eno yodea eze mehen achal. And he ate one of them and he doesn't know which one he ate. Ishto v'achoso imo b'mita, or let's say he's in bed with his wife and his sister. Ba'al achas mehen ve'eno yodea al ezo mehen ba. And he has relations with one of them, and he doesn't know with which one he had the relations. So these are cases where he did an act, and he doesn't know if he committed a sin. Ashan taloi, the conditional or suspended guilt offering. Lefisha ba'al hasafek, because it comes in a case of doubt, kore ashan taloi, it's called a suspensive guilt offering. Shetola umagin alav min hayisurin, because it suspends the matter, it keeps it in abeyance. Ve'enu machaper, but it doesn't atone for it. She'im noda alav achar kach bebera shechata, because if it later comes to his attention that he certainly did the sin, maybe chatas kavua, then he has to bring the regular sin offering. Hamatame mikdash ukdashav, someone who acted in impurity in terms of going into the temple or eating sanctified foods. Shenikdash l'mikdash kishahu tameh, he entered the temple when he was impure, o achal kadshim betumah, or he ate sanctified foods while impure. And that one does not bring the Asham Taloi if he doesn't know if he did it, Bibnei Shehuba Olavi Yored, because in other circumstances, it would be the variable guilt offering. The Ein Asham Taloi Bo, Ela Al Dover Zdono Kares, Ushgagaso Chatas Kavua, because the Asham Taloi, the suspensive guilt offering, is only brought for a sin that would be Kares if performed intentionally, and would be a regular fixed carbon chatas, a sin offering if done unintentionally. V'hai, and in this case, with the impurity and the sanctified foods or the temple, v'hai ho'il ushkagaso ba'olav yored, since it has the variable guilt offering, ein b'lo hoda shelo asham taloi, then when he doesn't know whether or not he did it, he would not bring the suspensive guilt offering. Af magadef, also the blasphemer, ein nevin ushkagaso chatas, he doesn't bring a carbon chatas, a sin offering, when he does it unintentionally. So therefore, when he doesn't know whether or not he did it, he doesn't bring the suspensive guilt offering. Because the Torah tells us when it comes to a sin offering, for one who acts unintentionally, excluding the blasphemer who does not do an actual act. The halacha kechachamim, and the halacha follows the chachamim in this matter. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel. Yesh mevios carbon v'nechol, v'yesh mevios v'eno nechol, v'yesh she'enan mevios. So a woman has to bring a sacrifice after she has a miscarriage. There are some women who bring this sacrifice and they eat from it. There are other women who bring the sacrifice but don't eat from it. And then there are women who don't bring a sacrifice at all. Elu mevios karben v'nachal. So our mission is going to describe those who do bring the sacrifice and who do eat from it. So they are certainly required to bring this offering, and that's why they eat from it. So who are these women? Hamapelas kamin behema chaya v'of. If a woman expels something that looks like an animal or a bird, divrei Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Omrim, and the sages say, Ajihebo mitzuras ha'adam. It has to actually resemble a person. Hamapela sandal, oshilya, oshvir marukam, v'hayotze mechutach. If a woman expels something that's like a sandal, flat like a shoe, or if it's an amniotic sac, or if it's some colorful mass, or if the limbs come out in pieces, then these would have to bring the carbon, and they would eat from it. And a quick look in the Bar Neuro, shilya, she'ein shilya below vlad, because there's no amniotic sac without there actually being a fetus. And finally, the Mishnah tells us, V'chein shifcha shehfila mivia karben v'nechal. Similarly, a maidservant who has a miscarriage would bring the sacrifice and eat from it. Now, why would we think the maidservant would be different from any other woman? Let's look in the Bar Neuro. V'chein shifcha shehfila, similarly, a maidservant who has a miscarriage. Desalka daita chamina, one might think to say, Kika amrinan kol mitzvah sha'isha chayeves behem, eved chayev behem. So we know a general rule that any mitzvah in which a woman is obligated, an eved, a servant, is obligated, and that would include both the eved and the shifcha, the male and the female servants. Hani mili mitzvahs hishava b'ish v'isha. So I might think that this only refers to things that both the male and female servants can do. Aval yoledes debenashim isa uba'anashim lesa. But when it comes to these sacrifices that are brought after giving birth, which only the women servants can do, the men servants can't do that, then I might think that the shifcha, the maid servant, is exempt because the male servant can't also do it. And that's why the Mishnah tells us that this law also applies to a maid servant who miscarries, because there is a difference, some mitzvahs that a maid servant can do that a male servant cannot. All right, that's the end of Mishnah Gimel. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayos Dalet and Hey.